Hey, I'm Elizabeth Willits, and I'm obsessed with helping as many women as possible achieve their boldest dreams after kids and helping you to navigate this messy and magical season of life. I'm a working mom with over 17 years of recruitment experience, and I'm the founder of the Investing in Women job board and community. In this show, I'm honored to be chatting with remarkable women redefining our working world across all areas of business. They'll share their secrets on how they've achieved extraordinary success after children, set boundaries and balance, the challenges they faced and how they've overcome them to define their own versions of success. Shy away from the real talk? No way! Money, struggles, growth, loss, boundaries and balance, we cover it all. Think of this as coffee with your mates and mixed with an inspiring TED talk, sprinkled with the career advice you wish you'd really had at school. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to get inspired and chase your boldest dreams, or just survive Mondays. This is the Work It Like a Mum podcast. This episode is brought to you by Investing in Women. Investing in Women is a job board and recruitment agency helping you find your dream part-time or flexible job with the UK's most family-friendly and forward-thinking employers. Their site can help you find a professional and rewarding job that works for you. They're proud to partner with the UK's most family-friendly employers across a range of professional industries. Ready to find your perfect job? Search their website at investinginwomen.co.uk to find your next part-time or flexible job opportunity. Now, back to the show.
Welcome to the Work It Like a Mum podcast, where we dive into stories of women who are making waves in traditionally male-dominated industry. I'm Elizabeth Willits, and today we're exploring the transformative world of diversity and inclusion with two trailblazing women from CPI Euromix. Wendy McFarlane, Finance Director and Chair of the Diversity and Inclusion Network, and Soraya Pardell, HR Business Partner, are here to share their groundbreaking journey towards a more inclusive workplace. From hiring the first women in their lab to launching a D&I network, they're not just talking about change, they're building it. So tune in as we uncover the passion and strategy behind CPI Euromix's commitment to diversifying their talent pool and empowering women in construction. Thank you so much for joining us. It's such a pleasure. I love our chat. I love learning more about what companies are doing as well.
Oh, thanks for having us, Liz.
Thank you.
No, that's okay. So it'd be really good to sort of learn about when was the moment that you realised that D&I needs to be more than just a concept of CPI Euromix?
Yeah, so for us, D&I, I guess, cards on the table up front, Liz, the construction industry in general, unfortunately, has very much the stereotype and the facts to back up the lack of diversity across the industry. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of trailblazers out there trying to do good things, and we're delighted that you've introduced us within that group. That's fantastic, what a compliment. But yeah, we have known for a while. Soraya and I are fairly new to the company in terms of the last couple of years, but we absolutely understood our position in the industry, but didn't want to sit and do nothing about that. We also both come from other industries where gender diversity specifically has not been as obvious an issue. So switching industries kind of was a bit of an eye-opener. Yeah. But there was obviously very clear support from our chief executive, from our group company, who also deal mostly in construction and distribution industries, to just be bold, be different, and try and change the rhetoric. So, yeah, it wasn't a light bulb moment. It's something we have known. But for us, it's really about making that change and doing something about it. So, yeah, it's been gradual. We're at the start of our journey, but very much have the passion and have the support around the company and the group. Just, yeah, change that message.
Why is the company so bought into D&I? Why are they really investing in, you know, initiatives? Why is it important to them?
Very passionate.
Yeah, definitely very passionate. We acknowledge that, you know, diversity contributes to a variety of skilled talents, you know, which brings new perspectives and different ideas, and all that brings leads to better outcomes. So yeah, by supporting diversity, we are not only more appealing to a broader range of talent and, you know, potential candidates out there that are putting off not wanting to work in construction. But also, we believe that it helps retain the best talent in promoting a dynamic workforce in CPI. So, yeah, we are definitely very passionate about, yeah, pushing the, yeah.
Brilliant. So what practice do you, obviously you've got the buy-in from the management team, senior management leadership team, et cetera, which is just amazing. And obviously that is the first step. So you've got now the buy-in. Talk us through then the early days. I know you've not been there super long yourself. So you come in, you're obviously making such an impact. What were the first sort of things that you did to try and foster more diversity and inclusion within your organization? What were the first steps?
So for me personally, someone that works with data, working in finance, that was the starting point for me. And we had that data. It was evident. Our stats are pretty similar to industry norms for construction. We started about 14-15%, just in terms of gender diversity was the kind of first starting place for us. But we knew there was obviously other demographics we wanted to touch and reach out to as well. So we started with the data and we set ourselves targets. That was the first thing. And from there, then started to build on, okay, we have targets, we have objectives. So we actually took objectives at a group level, at senior management level, and cascaded them down. And then we started to do some work around the business.
Yeah, so we looked at the recruitment. We thought that was, you know, we had a couple of positions coming up new, and we thought that could be good targeted areas where we can try and shift the, you know, the view that every position is to be full-time. We try to look at the positions as, can they be job shares? Can they be, you know, part-time positions? Do you actually need to be there the 8 hours, 40 hours a week? Or can you do maybe a part-time 4 hours? So, yeah, so we looked at our recruitment and our vacancies. We spoke with our managers in trying to find different ways to approach recruitment and not just your traditional, you know, full-time. Yeah, so then we launched Diversity and Inclusion Network as well to kind of bring a team that all stands behind, yeah, bringing diversity into the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. That was quite a key one for us, Liz, the network, because we knew the answer wasn't going to be found just within a leadership team. It needed the buy-in from the business and it needed the message to cascade down. And we were also, we've had some great success with employee forums. So we knew there were a lot of great ideas and a lot of further passionate people in the business. So the D&I network for us was firstly a show of support and that message from the top that we are serious about this and we want to do something further to that to include our employees to spread that message and to get that feedback. And we've had some terrific feedback, really out the box thinking. And also some really basic things. So, for example, infrastructure was a topic. And because we are mostly male-dominated, it hadn't been voiced at any level. But there were obviously very strong opinions on the lack of some female infrastructure from something as basic as our changing facilities, which were essentially used as storerooms, to PPE, you know. And I know there's some great, you know, trailblazers in that forum as well, you know, making sure it fits properly and it's, you know, respectful to the female workforce or anybody with any kind of, you know, diverse need. So it really just opened up other topics that we knew were out there, but we hadn't really delved into. So that was a game changer for us. And although we're in our infancy, we've only been running it since March, I do feel very proud of some of the changes we've made.
So this sounds like amazing. And obviously we're going to come to when we sort of first met and I helped you hire some people. But because you've done all that work before, you were an absolute dream to work with. I loved it because I could tell you'd done so much stuff before. So this is, I think, where a lot of companies, you know, they'll just post an advert and expect that to be the silver bullet, but there's no work or no thought that they've done before, which you had. So this employee network and the diversity and inclusion, you know, network and then the forums, what are they? If someone's listening to this working for a business and they think this sounds a good idea, I want to implement it. Just talk us through, really basic, what they are, how you do it, how you run them.
So we set it up. Obviously, it does need that support from top down. If the message is clear from the top and there is clear passion, I think that's super important because you then, you have an influence at that level to bring people on the journey with you. So that, I think, is really important. And we had that. The DI network, chaired by myself, we have Soraya from an HR perspective. We have our head of HR who supports the Grafton group. We have our communications manager as well. So there's a cross-section there across the business, each bringing their own value to that network from the start. And then we just sent that message out. And don't get me wrong, we did some targeted recruitment. We knew there was people who had spoken up, who had really great ideas that just in conversation we'd heard. But then we put it right out to the business. If any of us were out visiting the sites across our factories, we were spreading the word. We were advertising on our local intranets and just trying to tee up some real interest in it. And the minute we got a glimmer from someone or an idea, I mean, recruiting was come and join us, you know, and the passion was real. And I think people got really invested in that. So we now at Network sits about 12, 14 people, which in a company of 200 employees is a good proportion.
Yeah. And I think what's really good is our diversity and inclusion network is actually quite diverse in itself. So it's really good because it brings out different ideas, people with different experiences in different age.
Yep.
That, and yeah, it's yep. really good because yeah, you get that different experience and ideas coming through, which is really good. And to be fair, we welcome all ideas and we do, you know, to practice. And yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah. In terms of the logistics, just if someone's thinking about it, Liz, then the way we set it up, we do have a standing agenda. So as chair of that network, we kind of prep, and I work with Sarai and Stephen and Penn to kind of prep what do we want from our side, what's ideas that we've had. So, for example, we've had an external speaker come in and kind of talk us through, it's almost like a structure that she would use to kind of define how good you are within all aspects of D&I. So that's been really helpful to kind of set an agenda, a roadmap for us. We've had that, but we then also decided, again, from hearing from the network, three kind of core areas that were important to our business, one being recruitment, one being infrastructure and facilities, and one being awareness and comms. And that's now actually given us a real structure. So that would be takeaway for me, or some advice to other businesses thinking about it, is to listen to the business, but also bring your ideas. What are the key core areas that you could focus in on? Because what that's allowed us to do is in each meeting, we have an update on those areas. We talk about training, we talk about awareness, we talk about anything else that's relevant that people want to explore. But we focus in on those three core areas and we have subgroups for them. So we actually then all kind of carve ourselves off and do some really detailed work, which can't cover in the hour or two that we have on the network, but you can spend some dedicated time out with. We do that. And then we actually took a bit of a different approach at our last meeting. We aim to have them kind of every quarter.
Yeah.
And we took a bit of a different approach because we're spread out geographically in the country. We broke ourselves out into teams kind of breakout rooms and got our members to kind of chat about a few topical issues for us. And then come back, we got real interesting ideas. Yeah. So a great example was we were asking about how we can increase engagement and increase kind of diversity or make ourselves more attractive. And one of our members had come up with the idea of a kind of family open day, which was bringing, you know, a kind of people with care and responsibilities, engagement, value and action to candidates. You know, look at the great things we do. We value family, we value home life, we value work-life balance. So it's been really, really inspirational, actually.
I love that. And you meet face-to-face or on Zoom?
Yeah. We're gearing up for that. I would hope that next year we'll get to do that. We do have other, you know, forums that do meet up face-to-face, so we're just juggling with the ideas of what brings us the most value. And for now, Teams is actually working really well for us.
Yeah, brilliant. So you do that once a quarter, bring everyone together. And then is it the employee forums, are they something different then?
Hello to all our listeners. This is Elizabeth Willits, your host of the Work It Like a Mum podcast and founder of the Investing in Women job board and recruitment site. And I'm here today to tell you all about our transformative career coaching services. Whether you're returning to work, climbing the corporate ladder, or seeking a complete career change, our coaching is designed for anyone aspiring to make a significant impact in their professional life. We offer personalised guidance on crafting standout CVs that tell your unique story, effective strategies for nailing your next job interview, and expert tips on optimising your LinkedIn profile to attract the right opportunities. And here's the best part. As a valued listener, you'll get an exclusive 10% discount. Just use the code WORKITLIKEAMUM when you book your session. Visit us at investinginwomen.co.uk/career coaching services to start your journey towards career success. Let's work together to achieve your professional dreams with the Investing in Women Career Coaching Services.
They do something different. Now, interestingly, an idea that came up through our network was to have someone from the D&I network be represented on the employee forum. Again, just to bring that different space and to reinforce the message that this is really important. We have somebody represent the forum in our employee meetings. So they're called Let's Talk. It's a representative from every factory office that we have, as well as some of the senior team. And we discuss all sorts of things, you know, things they want to work on, ideas they've had, concerns, things to improve the business. And they meet every quarter as well.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'm really pleased. Yeah, because it sounds like you've invested a lot of time and effort into making this a success. And I really do think that the best ideas are the ones that actually come from the business, because people that know what's going to work within the organisation, what's missing, etc. So,
you know, our colleagues get behind because the idea comes from them and we just get to support and to listen. It's not so much as we're just telling them what to do, but they're coming up with the ideas. I think we get a lot more buy-in when it comes from the colleagues themselves.
So, right, I know that your background was HR in hospitality. So what challenges did you face when you transitioned to the construction industry, particularly around D&I? What were the big changes?
Yeah, it was definitely a big change. So, yes, I've worked in hospitality for 6 years. So most of my HR experience has been in hospitality, and it is a very different workforce. So we have challenges in here that we don't have in hospitality, and we have challenges in hospitality that we don't have here. But yes, that diversity was a big one. So in hospitality, you see a lot of students, you see a lot of different types of contracts. So for example, you have a lot of like 0 hours contracts, you get your university students, you have a lot of part-time, you know, especially in your F&B and reception areas. Whilst when I moved to construction, it's very much another workforce and it's very much your full-time. So you don't see part-time as much because there's that perception that part-time is not possible in construction for some reason, but you don't even see 0 hours. You don't have temporary, you don't have casual workers. You don't have that. So it was a big challenge and something that I've been trying to change, because it was really good to have this type of contracts and people that could step in for sick covers, for example, in hospitality, and we don't have that. So we're trying to change the culture here. And we feel like, you know, changing culture takes time. But yes, definitely the differences that I have seen. It's a very male environment. And to be fair, in my opinion, so when I moved to construction because of furlough and COVID, you know, I was furloughed for 8 months and it was such a long time that I just wanted to get back to work. I felt like I was missing all these, you know, changes in HR. And so I moved into construction. And for me, I was a bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm a young female in construction. You know, I was Googling and trying to find information, because it was all about that stereotype that it's male, it's an aged workforce. And, you know, there isn't that much information online. And I think we need to do better, definitely, because if we have someone that have wanting a career path and the change in that career path and having one in construction, it's really good. It is possible. It is, everyone is really respectful and really nice to work with. And I think we need to change that mindset that construction is a male, you know, only if you are a male, you can work in construction, which is not true. It's a lot of different career paths you can have in construction.
And how do you find it as a woman working in construction, Wendy, as well?
Yeah, it's been a different industry in terms of my last background was food manufacturing. So again, gender diversity was not a concern there at all. It's been interesting. And as Soraya said, there is huge stereotypes that come with the construction industry, but I would wholeheartedly agree that I have found it so rewarding and so valuable. And there is an abundance of different career paths. And the dial is moving, Liz. You know, there are a lot of very passionate people, male and female out there, that want to make change and really, you know, open the doors to possibilities and be real ambassadors for diversity and inclusion. So I actually think it's a really exciting time to be in the industry and to be part of that charge, to kind of lead that change. So no, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And as Soraya said, there's lots of great things to shout about in the construction industry. We just need to shout a little bit louder so that people really hear us at the back.
But I think it is changing. There's some really good companies, you know, we've spoken about before, that aren't like you, that are doing some amazing things in also retaining women as well. So, you know, it's not just hiring, it's about them retaining those women and, you know, nurturing their careers, helping promote them in the organisation. And I know that Feedback Euromics is doing that as well. So to talk a bit, because I've helped you recruit some women recently into your lab. So why was that a priority? Why was that an area you decided to focus on first?
Yeah, so the lab was a brand new position. So the National Lab is a new initiative that we had in CPI. And we thought that was a great opportunity to look at from a different perspective, a little bit outside the box. So at the beginning, we were looking into your traditional 2 full-time positions, but we started challenging that. So why 2 full-time positions? You know, why can't we have 4 part-time, for example, of someone that has worked outside commitments and we can be flexible around those? So yeah, the lab is a great example of the beginning of our journey towards a more diverse workforce. We took a much more innovative approach to the recruitment and we focused on that part-time roles and breaking from that traditional full-time. And we worked with you, we partnered with Investing in Women and you put forward some great candidates and we then appointed 4 females that came from those interviews. So yes, definitely the collaboration with you, I mean, you do a fantastic job in promoting the inclusion of women in various industries, including construction. So this partnership enabled us to place the 4 talented and dedicated females and we found that brought new ideas, which is great to see. So yeah, that decision kind of showcases our commitment to, you know, we are now looking at work-life balance. We are now looking at, you know, flexible working. And we understand there's a lot of candidates out there that, you know, they have outside commitments and they have, you know, school drops and we can work around those because it's possible. Also, a new thing was I was part of the interview process. So I supported our manager with the first stage interviews because we believed having a female in that interview panel doesn't only contribute for gender diversity, but it kind of sends a very powerful message to potential candidates out there. Actually, there is females in the industry, you know, and I think we got really good feedback from that. So yeah, I think the lab is a great example of what can be achieved when, you know, you approach recruitment with an open mind and that commitment to change.
Yeah, and I think what works really well with the lab role was not just that it was part-time, but that it was a retraining opportunity. People didn't need prior experience because, you know, that would have been more limiting in terms of who you'd been able to hire. So how have you found that? Because obviously companies can get a little bit nervous hiring people without prior experience. And the 4 people we hired had, I mean, some of them had worked in a lab. I think one of them had worked in a COVID lab. So some had some lab experience, but others didn't have any. So how was it bringing 4 women into the lab without experience? And talk me through that learning curve that they've had and how quick they've got to be.
At the beginning, Liz, we always acknowledge that skills can be trained, but personality, you know, it comes with you. And we were really wanting someone that, you know, get on with the team and wanting to be there more than that experience. So we did speak with the manager and we knew the skills can be trained. So we wanted more look at the personality and bring someone that could fit with the company and the culture and really passionate to be there. So yeah, we did put an induction together. That was a new thing as well. So I went down to the lab, I inducted the 4 colleagues to make sure that, and they had a really good 4 weeks of training. And they are doing really well. And I believe it's the perfect example of, you know, sometimes you don't need experience because skills can be trained.
Yeah.
And we need to look at that a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, we did something so simple as well, Liz, with our job specifications, which we now take going forward. And it was simply putting a statement in the opening paragraphs that even if you don't tick all the boxes, and we were very mindful of making sure what was essential was absolutely essential and non-negotiable. So a great example was initially when we spoke with, you know, our quality manager and the laboratory manager, Stuart and Adrian, initially we'd say they need a driving license. And again, a fair challenge was put to them to say, but do they? And is that not something we could support if they didn't have it? Like, why would we cut people off because of something that actually isn't really essential? And they embrace that challenge.
Yeah.
And again, it's the culture, it's the attitude of those managers, of Stuart and Adrian. We then rewrote it and we put a statement in to say, even if you do not tick all these boxes, but you think you have the skills and the qualities or transferable skills, we want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's known as well that women typically would expect to have to tick every single box before they'd apply for a job. Whereas for a majority, again, an assumption on males is that that's not the case, and they would apply if they believed they only had, say, 60 or 70% of the attributes needed. So we wanted to break down that barrier as well to say, don't worry, you still think you're the right person for this job. Please apply. We want to hear from you. And we got great feedback on that. That just opened another door for them. They felt the pressure was off that, do you know, I might be in with a chance of this role. And we got something like, I want to say 30, 40 CVs that were, you know, at a great standard, Liz. It was phenomenal, the response we got with your help.
Yeah, you got a lot. I mean, there was a lot of disappointing people, wasn't there? So,
yeah. Unfortunately, I know.
Yeah, so how's the dynamic then changed? Because these are obviously the first women you've hired in the lab. How's that dynamic changed now, and what's the culture feel like?
Well, the feedback has been really good from the team at Bilston. So change of rooms especially have been improved. So obviously we now have the females that need that space, so they are looked after. But it's the conversational as well. So the conversation where you are there, they just change. So you get that new ideas, and there's been a real interest from our colleagues in the lab to get joined, do the rough walks around the plant and understanding more about the business. And I think that shows the colleagues that were already in the plant, actually what we do here is important. People want to know what we want to do. We're not just the driver, for example. People actually got that interest. So yeah, it definitely changed the dynamics, and the place is
been a wonderful showcase example. And that wasn't the intention, Liz. We genuinely wanted to do something different and just open doors to a more diverse workforce. But what it's allowed us to do is really celebrate that success around the business and bring others on that journey to say, look how well this has went and the value it's bringing. We can do more.
Yeah, it's just not that blunt as well. I think other managers are now looking at that and thinking, whoa, actually, we could do this in our plant, you know, and it's opening a lot more opportunities now where we're challenging that process of thinking, oh, actually, I could do a job share in a driver role. You know, I don't need someone to be on the road 5 days. Maybe someone, you know, wants to do only 2 days. Maybe you could do, you know, two positions instead of one position, and kind of challenging that thought and breaking that barrier of that traditional full-time.
Exactly. And that's where the real benefit comes, Liz, for me. So obviously we have a focus in construction on diversity full stop. So we do have an aging workforce. We have people who want to retire, maybe can't do it right now, but want to start on that path. So these conversations are allowing anyone with a need for flexibility, reduced working, part-time, caring responsibilities of all means, you know. So it's for everyone. It's not just for that angle. It really is a genuine willingness to support our employees across the board.
And Wendy, I know that obviously you're the finance director. D&I, I mean, obviously the stuff you've done, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, it's free really. It takes people's time away, doesn't it? Like thinking about your D&I network and the forums, etc. So how are you balancing your job, the business commercial and the need to, you know, save costs, drive profit with the D&I initiatives and that investment, whether it be time or money? You know, how are you balancing?
For me, it's so simple to answer because the benefits we get from being more diverse are more than financial, but they do absolutely impact that bottom line. So that's anything from we actually have saved on our recruitment costs with working with you, and your approach to it has just been so refreshing. It's actually less cost than it is working with other kind of recruiters. And the way we've worked that, you know, a lot of virtual and a lot of kind of CVs online and things, it's actually saved time, effort and cost. But like that, in introducing a more diverse workforce, the facts are proven that businesses that are more diverse will actually end up more profitable because of that, because of the new ideas. And a great example in our lab is, you know, having four part-time positions from an employee point of view. If you need holiday cover or if someone is off sick, you actually have a natural succession cover plan there rather than going out to agency and paying a premium to bring someone in. So you're saving costs from that as well. So for me, it's absolutely a no-brainer. And it's also the right thing to do. So as a business, we, in being more diverse, we become more profitable. We have more ideas. We end up with, you know, better recruitment, higher engagement, higher retention. All of that costs money. So for me, it pays for itself and then some.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you just sold it, because that was going to be my final question. If there's a company listening to this and they're not investing in D&I, you know, what would be, I mean, it sounds like you've answered it, but, you know, you've got to close your mouth. Why should more organisations invest in the D&I?
I think Wendy said everything. I think, you know, investing in D&I is not only just bringing your gender up, you know, your age, stats. It's all about, you know, your colleagues are engaged, you know, you make sure that every colleague in your company feels valued, included, empowered. And I think by supporting that diversity, inclusion, your colleagues speak up, they feel like it's their safe space, you know, they are not scared to share their ideas or contribute their unique talents that everyone brings. And I think it brings a different perspective to the company. It really helps your retention because, you know, your colleagues feel valued where they are. They're not looking to go elsewhere. And sometimes that's even more important than your paycheck at the end of the month. So, yeah, definitely.
And if somebody listens to this and thinks the BPO room, it sounds like a lovely place to work, what sort of roles do you hire for? Where do you hire? And how can people learn more about the careers on offer with you?
Yeah, so we've got drivers positions that can be worked in the plan. So we could support with, you know, your forklift driving license. So again, we'd not need experience to apply for that. We would provide you with that. You got positions in the office, you got positions in the lab, positions into the transport department. So there is a wide range of positions that you can apply in CPI. And also we are big supporters of a career progression here. If we have someone that's really keen and looking for development, we support with study leave. We, you know, we sponsor for paying for courses. We are trying to bring more apprenticeships into the company. That'll be a focus potentially for next year. We are looking at, you know, career paths for the positions that we already have. So yeah, there's a wide range of positions. It's not just your labor intensive roles that you think when you think of construction.
And where can people see all the current jobs?
So we are going to be launching a new careers platform next year, which is going to be something new. And our jobs are advertised either internally with Grafton Group or on LinkedIn and through you.
Yeah, brilliant. We'll put all the links in the show notes. And if anyone is looking to this and wants to work for a really forward-thinking construction company that really does value their employees, then definitely check out CPI Euromix. And if someone's got any questions regarding anything we've talked about, are they okay to get in touch directly with you? And where would be the best place to find you, though?
Absolutely. We're both on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You can find us there. Liz, I'm happy if you want to share our emails as well. We can give you all that details. But yeah, please, we're absolutely using our network, which you've helped us with, to speak to others in this space. So we're more than happy to share our experiences with people as well. So yeah, please get in touch.
Brilliant. Well, I'll put your LinkedIn URLs in the show notes, but I'm sure that Wendy and Sarah would be happy if people wanted to connect with them on LinkedIn as well. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you and learn all about the phenomenal stuff you're doing with CPI Euromix, because I think what you're doing is wonderful. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks for all your support as well, Liz. Couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Work It Like a Mum podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review and subscribe. And don't forget to share the link with a friend. If you're on LinkedIn, please send me a connection request at Elizabeth Willett and let me know your thoughts on this week's episode. You can also follow my recruitment site, Investing in Women, on LinkedIn, Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, keep on chasing your biggest dreams.